Welcome all to this Yarrala Shire Council Finance Advisory Committee meeting held on the 21st of March, and the time is now 4:07. Prayer, Almighty God, we humbly ask you to grant your blessing upon this council, direct and prosper your deliberations to the advancement of your glory and the true welfare of the people of our Shire and Australia. Amen. And the recognition of traditional custodians, Yarrala Shire Council recognises the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet and acknowledge Aboriginal elders past and present. We extend this respect to other Indigenous Australians who may be present for the meeting today. The meeting is being audio recorded, and the recordings of the non-confidential parts of this meeting will be available on the internet. No other persons are permitted to record this meeting except specifically authorised to do so by council. Persons attending the meeting should refrain from making derogatory statements, and electronic devices, including mobile phones, should be turned off. We have two apologies. Apologies from Councillor Toomey and Councillor Crouch. And at this stage, I'll hold on Councillor Doran. I was hoping that she would be able to do. So if I can have somebody move that we accept the apologies of Councillor Toomey and Crouch. Thank you. Councillor Burrows, seconded Councillor Petrov. All those in favour? Aye. Thank you. Disclosures of, and declarations of interest. We don't have any of those, Chris. No, thank you. The minutes for the previous financial advisory committee held on the 15th of December were confirmed at the next council meeting. So basically, councillors, and given that we're in committee, you have a report from staff, and I'm just going to open it up for councillors to, as a general discussion. With the next 2 hours, I'm hoping that we go through any areas of concern, areas we want staff to go away and review, get some indication from councillors, their thoughts. There is a recommendation that would then go forward from this meeting to depending on what the recommendation is, would go from this meeting, would go forward to the next council meeting. So, councillors, I'm in your hands.
Start off. Okay, I go to the service areas benchmarking report, or the actual report. So it's on page 13, and it's talking about water, and it's talking about opportunity. And it says, it is possible for local government to operate their water and sewer funds to achieve a modest surplus and pay the general fund an annual dividend. That is correct. It is possible. However, I believe that a rural council such as ours, which has got an urban area where they pay sewer and water, and a rural area where they do not, it would be unjust for this council or a rural council to pass a dividend to the general fund, which covers everyone. So that what it would mean is that you would raise more money in the water and the sewer fund to make a payment to the general fund. The water and the sewer, in my belief, has been put together and paid for by the users of that water scheme. I agree that there should be a surplus each year so that we can add that to the depreciation and upgrade our scheme. But I will, frame a motion whereby we make it a policy that we, in fact, do not make dividends from the water and sewer fund. That's my first item that I'd like to draw.
I would disallow that on the basis that while we, this council can make that decision, I'm not sure we can commit to future councils to having to make that decision. So I'll take your point, and I don't want to say it.
Mr. Mayor, I said I will move a motion.
Yeah.
I can't do it at this meeting.
Mm.
I am foreshadowing. I dislike it being put into the strategy that we do it. I'm raising it now because I don't believe we should do it. And I would test the rest of the will of the council by putting forward a policy motion. Okay, so
thank
my
you.
Comment.
All right, I know I'll be coming back to you, so I understand that.
Okay.
Councillor Petrov, I'll go around the room first and then just a side comment.
I'm going to make it, I'll be honest. So I'm happy to listen and learn from you.
Yeah. Councillor Burrows?
A lot of the things that I've picked up are little things that.
Yes, many of the things that I picked up were actually in the email that was sent by Councillor Crouch, and so there's not much point in doubling up on them. And most of mine are really, really minor, apart from in the service area benchmarking. Of course, I didn't put a page number of what I was talking about. I'm a little concerned that our AMPs still need quite a lot of ongoing work. And though, again, I think Bob did point this out as well, that especially in the building asset management plans, it's hard to trust them when we know that some of the building assets are completely wrong. So that. So I'm a little nervous about anything to do with the asset management plans in that because it's, I don't know what I don't know. And in also, if we're looking to increase our rates, what are we expecting to give people more of that they're not getting now? And I think that the likelihood of the ability for people to pay more for the same service is very low. You know, like people are already doing it tough, and if we're not going to give them anything more than they're getting now, it's going to be a real battle to ask for any more money. And that's about all I've got right now. Thank you.
Councillors, I'll just set the scene. The things that I see in front of us on the issues that need to be dealt with, obviously the water fund clearly needs additional funding. So one of the issues is whether if you can increase the charges. Last year we did 5 and 5, is that right, Councillor? 5. And that basically the charges flat out kept up with to keep up with the actual cost of doing the business. The issues there are that, yes, we know that there's main replacement work needed to be doing. A person last night determined that the $2 million in our restricted reserves was a slush fund. I would suggest that's a fund for us to start the rehabilitation work. There's another thought. And I would say the same issue we have with the sewer, where we're getting the mains need to be replaced as required. The issue with the waste, yes, we're doing that review because remembering that Protea did a report that said we had 20-odd years and we're now being suggested it's less than that, so we are in the process of getting that up-to-date information. And longer term, we need to be talking about some sort of regional strategy, so issues that around whether we're a targeted place where we just do solar panels or we do tyres or we do something else specifically or how we manage that. So there's some work to be done in that space. The issues that Councillor Burrows raises about the rates is the difficult sell. We're not offering new bridges or ceiling roads. All we're offering is to say, give us more money to do what we're doing currently, because the inflation rate's higher than the particularly the construction inflation rate's higher than what our annual income is. Now, I think this year we're working on 3.7%. Probably the construction index is somewhere around 6. So that's a frustration, and it just gets worse. The issue that I have also is that originally when we did the went to the public to remain as a single entity, there were figures at around 15%. Now the reality is 15% only gives us $600,000. That wouldn't balance our budget. So, but the other side of it is, of course, now the now with the renewable energy projects, we're now talking about 1.5% as a minimum of capital expenditure, or based on megawatts production, to get a similar figure to that, come to that same point. So the figures, the numbers for that we're discussing with Winterbourne and with Thunderbolt Energy Hub are significant, and those projects. And some of it's upfront money, and then the rest, some over the period of the actual production. Now, there are two schools of thought. Clearly, one is that we use that to balance our books, or use some of it to balance our books, and the other part to do, if you like, legacy-type projects. I have already expressed my concern about us continuing to do community grant programs where we're giving $5,000 here and there. I think it's, we're moving past that. I obviously need, for the New England Solar Farm, I need to talk to those people who are involved in the grant scheme, and three of them are in the room, and I need to talk to those that aren't councillors. We're looking at a very different way of suggesting that we manage these programs, of voluntary planning agreements, for want of a better word. We've told the Department of Planning as late as today that voluntary is not a word that we appreciate. They have to be planning agreements, and they have to be set into the process. I go to Councillor Crouch's comment about what areas was there, were we not doing what we need to do, apart from, as you say, road maintenance, and we can always spend more on that, and some works, around parks and gardens and the main street now that looks pretty, but we know we can't continue that sort of act. I don't see any other areas where we need to hugely increase what the output is. And as I go back to Councillor Burrows's comments, that it's very hard for us to say, look, you give us this extra money, we'll do extra things for it. I don't see how that we'd do. Anyway, that's just things to think about. On the waste, just as a final bit, on the waste, I was a strong supporter of us not charging for green waste. I think I was wrong. I think we need to find a way to charge, even if it's $5 for a ute load, on the basis that the difficulty and I've watched semi-trailers go in with trees on them. The difficulty for our staff to determine whether the trees come from Yarralla Shire or the trucks come from Yarralla Shire is almost impossible. They only have to turn up. So unless it's actually, if we say no, it's semi-trailer is going to cost you $50, or for instance, and then if there's a storm event, they can apply to council for a consideration. So where we've had trees fall over in people's yards and they, need four truckloads to get it out to the waste, then maybe they can apply for a special provision, either that or we give, four free tickets for ute loads to the landfill a year or something. So, as I say, I believe we need to rethink that. That's just my thoughts. I'm happy to have that, but I'll continue to go around the room. So, Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You nearly made it to me before you stole my thunder. This is pretty serious, because this is something that's not paying for itself. And on page 13, I think it covers a pretty the strategic risks sums it up the whole. But I'm sorry, Councillor Burrows, but I disagree. We do have to put up this rate because it's not going to pay for itself. And this hasn't been addressed by the previous council. I'm not going any further with that. And this is why we're in trouble with this. We've got outdated pipes going through the place. We've got everything's run down. Let's put it that way. Everything's run down. It has to be paid for. And we're going to have to either let the next council deal with it, which I don't do. We're going to address this problem one way or another. So I think personally water rates will have to go up. To what point will be discussed. The strategy's rather wrong, I think, but I'd like to talk more about that. I suppose this is the right place in council, but there's a lot of risk in taking on too much in 1 year. So this is why a good financial point will have to be done. You covered what I was going to say, actually, so I won't go any further with that. So what can I tell you? Grant funding would be great if we could get more grant funding for this particular item. You mentioned solar and wind. Well, we might be able to call on that. It won't be coming as a block heap of money, but we have to move on this year one way or another to get it back into the even part of business anyway, even if it's not. It's got a marked time, and we've got to be putting money aside to update. Simple as that. Thank you.
Councillor McMullen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate your point earlier with respect to everybody having a wish list as to what our money should be spent on by council. Yes, there have been many very positive comments about all of a sudden the town and the gardens and Belmer Park and other bits and pieces are looking much better. But they're typically cynical, knowing that a TV crew's coming to town. And they're specifically asking me, well, why can't this happen all the time? I've tried to point out to them there are two reasons. One, it costs money. And we've had to hire equipment and staff from other places to get the job done, and that's coming out of our budget. But secondly, we have vacancies on our outdoor staff, which we just cannot fill. And they're saying, well, you know, why can't we get more staff? And I can't answer that question. But the fact is that we are trying our best, and I appreciate that, but if we're going to have a level of maintenance of parks and gardens, etc., the community has to realise that it costs money. We are not an endless bucket of funds that can throw it willy-nilly anywhere. On your comment, Mr. Mayor, with respect to waste, I disagree with respect to delivering green waste. I feel that we should find a better way to identify where that waste is coming from. Because if we do not, I have a feeling that backyard burning is going to become a major problem. We have already decided that backyard burning is now, in inverted commas, legal within our shire, and you're going to find people piling up stuff rather than taking it to the dump and creating even more problems from the community when they start complaining about that. I wholeheartedly concur with Councillor O'Connor's comments with respect to water and sewer. I believe water funds should be spent on water infrastructure. Similarly, sewer funds on sewer infrastructure. We should not be taking them and providing a dividend to the general fund. We have already identified that our sewer and our water need significant infrastructure improvements, as the pipes are very, very old. They're old asbestos pipes. They're bursting a dozen times a year. And the amount of money we are spending on repairing them rather than replacing them, it will eventually run us dry. If there is a way, as Councillor Bower pointed out, to find funds, grants or whatever, identifying the fact that we have very poor water distribution in the town and throughout the shire, we may have a leg to stand on with respect to pursuing that. And that leads me to the next point. If we are looking to have a significant increase in rates, a special rate variation, Mr. Mayor, you've already indicated that doesn't matter how much we put it up, it's not going to contribute much to our bottom line unless we put it up a lot. Now, then you're going to have a lot of division within the community saying such things as, well, you're fixing all the pipes in town, but you're not doing anything for us out in the bush. Is anybody going to say, well, therefore you can put up the rates on R1 and R2 and other, base the rate increases on the zoning? Question mark.
Can I just hold up a sec? So the water and the sewer are not impacted by the special rate variations. They're independent, so we could put the water and the sewer up 100%. That's it doesn't need to go to anybody else except what the community says. So those two issues, and any money, and I agree with yours and Councillor O'Connor's sentiment, we can put money towards asset replacement or reserves or whatever. It can be fully restricted, which it is currently. So that's a very, we can clearly articulate that water and sewer is a very different argument between the overall rate increases. So the rate increases will go right across the shore. There's work being done already about whether, say, a solar farm or a wind turbine farm would be industrial. And so there's been some work done on that, on the basis that an increase there might see, let's say you drop everybody else's rates by 2% and then you add the special rate variation that takes some of the load off. But that works out there. But yeah, the articulation of the three, not a problem. The bigger problems, the actual what we needed would need to go to the community. But the towns will face the water and the sewer charge. Like that's for sure, for certain.
Thank you. That beautifully segues into my final point. I wasn't talking about the reality. I was talking about the perception. And it is the community that is going to perceive one-sided distribution of funds. And therefore, as you so rightly point out, we need to be very careful how we articulate to the community why we need this special rate variation. It's going to be the biggest uphill battle that every single councillor and staff member in this room has to justify it in such a way that they can see benefit to themselves rather than an inequitable distribution of the increase in rates. I appreciate what you're saying with the water and sewer, but I'm pointing out to you the perception out there in the community is not going to be the same, so I commend you on your comment with respect to articulation of the need to get that information out there properly. Thank you.
General Manager.
Mr. Mayor, since Councillor Crouch sent in his feedback, the staff have been working as much as they can the last few hours on some commentary to assist with that. Is it worthwhile running through Councillor Crouch's comments and some additional information we've put together as well? And while I've got the opportunity, I think all the comments are on point, and this report is just a point in time, high-level information that's, as you can see, it's very difficult to have apples with apples, so it's an indicative, good set of data to help, but doesn't make any of this decision-making easy. And I think that's why the main recommendation is about getting, let's go and get some quotes, get some independent advice. That has, part of that criteria has to be that community engagement to get the messaging right. And I think where we're heading with the draft budget is let's get the water and sewer at the right level this coming year, July. As Mr. Mayor pointed out, you have full control over that. So that then when, as we work through the potential SRV needs analysis, and that's all it is at this point in time. As per the little diagram on your table, there's four key decision points. We are a long way from council making a decision, A, on even to apply for application for an SRV, how much it would be, and even if you do go through all those steps and get the approval, there are still more decisions about how much any actual extra rate increase would be and when it would be. And that's where that rate modelling data will come in the next few months and inform us into the future. So there is an opportunity for some of that additional rate revenue to come out of the big industrial scale energy zone developments, and we will need to be making sure the Valuer General has that on their radar for the revaluations, whether it's under industry or business category, but that those portions of those properties are rated appropriately, and that's where we should be able to get some good additional revenue that help the ratepayers at large. Can I hand over to maybe the Executive Director to run through Councillor Crouch's?
Yes, thank you. Christine, did you wish to do that? Yeah.
Thank you, through the Chair. Thank you, General Manager, for that. And just to reiterate, there is a lot of work being done in that rate modelling that's happening. So thank you to the Manager of Finance and IT for the a lot of work that he's doing on that as well. So I'll just quickly open up our... So what we've done today... Can you go next? Okay. So we looked at the... Just going through Councillor Crouch's questions, and I assume everyone has seen all that. So just in the first comment of welcoming the benchmarking, recognising that staff have done a great job, which is lovely. Thank you very much. So the comment that we've put in there is that an outcome is hoped for the April-May period this year in the rate modelling. So in the interim, the information is unknown and subject to ongoing negotiations. It's difficult under the current circumstances to settle on a solid view regarding a potential quantum and structure of any potential future outcome with any level of certainty. So basically it's just this work is continuing on, and I do particularly want to thank our manager, finance and IT, one of our finance officers, our general manager, our interim director infrastructure. It's been a group effort getting some of this information for you today. It may be appropriate in the circumstances to approach this as a potential future windfall rather than a certainty at this point in time. This would allow current decision-making regarding a potential investigation of what an SRV may look like under known conditions, so as identified in the benchmarking report, and then incorporate any successful capitalisation of the opportunity which may occur in the future. This could occur before making a decision, and as our General Manager's pointed out, we're a long way off at this point from making a decision. So to adequately consider the recommendation, there was a comment from Councillor Crouch about needing to see a budget bid for the SRV. The proposed body of work is not to proceed to an SRV application. It is to investigate the need and the circumstances of a potential SRV only, so that we are prepared to lodge a formal application if we find it is needed. And as per your diagram, you'll see that final decision's a way off yet. A budget bid for the proposed body of work is $120,000. This figure was deliberately not included in the report beyond referring to this budget bid so as not receive consultant proposals that match the maximum budget allowance. So we just want to be sure. So it is on page 101. I'm nearly up to there. Are you all right? You just know very well what's in here. The proposed source of the funding is the Strategic Development Restriction Reserve. So if you refer to page 101 of the agenda, that's where that amount is identified in there. The recommendation commits resources without specifying how much, and we do have an alternate recommendation if we want to have a look at that, and we can put that up on the screen as well. There were three points there about supporting progressing to a special rate variation, but needing to be advised what we're not delivering apart from garden and streetscape, what we're not delivering now that we have historically delivered, and I think Mr. Mayor, you've answered that one very well. I don't know if you want to add anything.
Yeah, on that point, I will leave that open for any other councillors or staff if they would like to identify areas where they think there is a need for more. Would, in a lovely world, that more funding would be spent, or where they feel there's concern. So we've identified, the Parks and Gardens area. If there are other areas where people feel like, if we had more money, that we should be doing a core business. So And I will take the opportunity just to make the comment that when I became mayor, my assurance to the community was that this would only occur when we were, we had gone through, if you like, line by line on what our expenditure was and identified areas where we believed that there were savings or improvements could be made. So that's always been a key part of this council's role, to get to the stage, and I think that we're a lot closer than we were when we started. There's obviously still, and Councillor Crouch has rightly pointed out some areas for that, but that's that part of that commitment to put your hand on your heart and say, yes, well, we've done everything we can, we still need more money, or we found another way. So, but thank you. Thanks, Christine.
Just some comments in regard to the asset management planning. So the asset management plans provide a high level of accuracy in the 10-year expenditure projections that are listed for each asset class. Revaluations on each asset class are undertaken under the IPR regulations at a 5-year cycle. So the building revaluation cycle is being completed this month. The next building revaluation is scheduled to take place in 2028. This data primarily impacts on Council's future depreciation calculations rather than Council's future 10-year expenditure requirements for the asset class concerned. So the current buildings asset management plan was updated in detail in 2020 to incorporate the most current 10-year maintenance expenditure requirements into the 10-year expenditure projections. So the 10-year capital projections are updated annually for use in resetting Council's long-term financial plan for the next cycle. So all work done, both capital and maintenance, on any asset class item is updated immediately post the event into Council's asset register, which is the primary underlying source from which the 10-year projections are ultimately drawn. As such, there is no substantive lag in the currency of the 10-year expenditure projections for each asset class which Council has received to date. And we can provide all of these for you in more detail. We can email them out. So the next comment there around need to recognise in the plans the reality that Council will not replace many assets from our own resources. So just in response to that, we've got the general point is acknowledged and this option is recognised in our asset strategies plans to the extent that it is workable. However, in reality, the number and type of assets that can be left to degrade to zero or to be removed entirely if external funding is not forthcoming is quite limited. Critical services such as roads, sewer, water waste, etc. must be constantly maintained at a minimum functional level, whether external funding is offered or not. This will always mean this option is most likely to buy time option or best rather than a genuine mechanism to control Council's financial sustainability in the long run. Where we can, we've certainly identified items that will not be replaced unless there is grant funding to do so.
Yep. And I just add a little comment there. That's picking up on that point, though, is why in the report there was sort of that formula table where we acknowledge that when we do get to the pointy end of trying to work out if we do need an SRV, how much is it, that we can certainly take off the value of the parks and gardens infrastructure, for example, that we've said we will only replace when we get 100% grant to replace them. And the manager of finance did run some numbers on that, and I think it was in the order of 600,000 or something like that. So it's not going to solve the whole problem, but each little bit does help. So, and similarly, we can say, well, we're not double accounting the RFS depreciation because we already have to pay money in over here and here and here.
So they were the main questions that came through in relation to report 9.1. And there will be some others in the other reports as well. We've got we're just trying to get a little bit more detail in there as well. So we'll.
Yeah, I think it's how absurd that we can take 100,000 out of our budget by telling the RFS that we're happy to, telling the audit that we're happy to have a qualified audit on the basis of the RFS depreciation. I don't get it. Anyway, sorry. Councillor O'Connor.
Mr. Mayor. Let's get back to the problem we got, right? The big picture is this. The 2022 financial statements showed before capital grants, $1,196,000. And that was made up of the following. McMoore's lost $233,000. Water lost $404,000. General fund lost $708,000. And the sewer fund made $149,000. So we've got to make up, right, basically that amount of money. We've got to make up really $1.3 million in the water fund, bringing McMoore's into balance and looking at the general fund. $708,000 is 17.3% of the general rate. Okay, that's it, 17.3. So if you're looking at a special rate variation, then you're gonna have to work not on 50%, which was previously, which scared everybody to pieces, but 17.3. And we've got to work hard at getting the water and the sewer, water and McMoore's back into balance. Now, how do you get $404,000 in water fund? Well, you increase your water usage charge from $3 to $5, which gives you an amount of $348,000 of the $404,000. That's 60%, that. If you're going to do it, if you're really going to work at getting the water fund. Now, I gave councillors and the general manager my analysis of 2021 items. Right, that's straight out of the balance sheet. Agrees with the annual financial statements. You will see that we had a loss in the general in Yorilla Water of $280,000. We had a deficit in Bundara of $124,000. The Yorilla part of the water fund subsidises Bundara, or it has since the time we joined them together. Before that, they Bundara used to pay, they would have been paying the $284,000 rather than the $160,000 they currently pay. They would be paying an additional $120,000. I don't have any problem with the water fund being a single fund. We've done the hard yards, it's there. But we have to be realistic, because it is that. The reason why I put behind that the 2022, the 2014, 2013, the 2012 and 2011 is because within the report, the only item that was showed for the water fund pre-fit for the future was 2010. Now, if you look at what happened, if you analyse what happened in 2014, 13, 12, 11 and 10, you will see, if you look at the rainfall charts and the weather charts, you will see that the years in which we made a surplus in water, which we did, and the years we made a loss, which we did, are in fact the years that there is of it. A drought and hot weather equals usage. Rain and cool weather in the summer equals the drop in usage. So last year was a drop in usage because we had a really good, we had 1,000 millimetres of rain, so even I didn't have to use water. So what we need to do, you know, it's not going to be hard, but you're going to have to work at understanding that if we want to will have the water fund break even or make a surplus, it's going to have to be $5 instead of $3.
So we're going to sell 60%.
Okay, this now to take away that fluctuations with the usage charge, then it needs to be balanced, in my view, between the rates and charges and the user charges. So,
I don't believe so. That's if I'm putting forward what I think has to happen. Yeah, you can say, oh, we'll increase the rates, but the usage charge. When the usage is correct, you know, or up, we make a surplus. When the usage is down, we make a deficit. So it is in the use where the issue is. It is not in the rate. It's not in the rate, which is the provision of the service. Right, and if you look at the amount we're raising for rates and charges are $487,000 against user charges of $450,000 for Yorulla and $92,000 and $67,000 for Bundara. So basically, I don't believe you put up the rates and charges. You don't make the rates and charges up to $500,000 or $250,000 because the amount you can raise there is minimal. If you're going to raise a lot of money, it's got to be in the user charge. And then you sell it as a user charge.
I'm going to disagree with you because as soon as you put it to $5, half the people in town turn their tap off. So, yeah.
Well, they turn the tap off, then we make a loss.
Yeah, that's why this. Then, in my view, there needs to be a bit of a balance. I'm not saying all of it. Maybe it's $5 and $15.
The issue is $3 is too cheap for our water. Mm. That's it. It should have been higher, and we haven't put it up. So you're either going to put it up now, but when you make a correction, as we're having to do, you know, we're going to you're going to have to look at a 17% increase in your general rate. So that's the issue. Anyway.
Thank you.
Councillor Petrov? Is the turning the tap off what's happened in the past, or that's like if the rate goes up, is that what actually happens?
I can't justify that from... I would agree more with Councillor O'Connor's that it's about when it rains and when it doesn't and the drought. And so if we look back to those years that we made losses in the drought, we had level 6 restrictions, so you couldn't turn the tap on anyway. So all of those things, climate has a bigger impact than the price. It's not as price sensitive as you know, but that's not to say how the reaction might be. But if I look back to... in the days when your father introduced the $450 per user rate charge for water, and when we built the new supply and gave everybody 500 kilolitres free, some years right up to the 500 kilolitres, in fact, they argued about which day their meter should be read, but they were pretty rare. Most people were still responsible for it. So, yeah, it's as I say, it's in some ways it's not as price sensitive as I would imagine, but clearly the issue around the weather's the biggest. If it rains in September, October and doesn't rain again, people use water to keep their gardens alive. So it's an interesting graph of usage versus... But, of course, the other part is... Oh, sorry, I'll get there in a second, Councillor. The cost of us supplying water, if you like, let's say 100 units provide you water... The 90 units every year is required regardless of how much water you produce. So it's you still need the same staff, you still have the same depreciation on plant, you still need the same mains maintenance, those sort of things. So it's the marginal cost. The next litre of water is cheaper than the first litre, if you like. Yeah, for want of that. If I've confused you. Sorry, Councillor Burrows, before I go any further.
It's more a query. Like, if we... if it's likely that we're going to go back into a drought, hopefully not, but kind of likely, then how do we, and knowing that then people won't be able to turn the water on, so whether we charge $1 million or 20 cents, it's not going to be there for them to use. How can we plan ahead for that?
Well, originally the idea was that we had some, and we have still a significant amount of reserves. The argument now becomes that while we've got nearly $2 million in restricted assets, and we've used it longer than we needed to, so Councillor O'Connor's point's well made. So you can take out your annual fluctuations under the reserves, or you can do your major main replacements, but you can't keep doing it. I think that's the point.
Could I just ask another question? With new buildings and even people here, people are becoming very much water-wise. Is people putting tanks in for their gardens and all that, does that make much of a difference also to the amount of water they use from our supply?
Unfortunately, minimal. There is an advantage for those that like the taste of tank water versus, there are plenty of those that come from rural areas, versus what now I think we have beautifully tasting water with the powder activated carbon treatment. But it's the amount, when you think about, what have I got at the farm, 38,000 litres, so that's, and we pay $3 a kilolitre, so yeah, it's not that much.
With tank water, it doesn't have to be plumbed into the house, does it? So, you know, we can make people catch water, but then don't we have, there's something about, I'm not fully across the tank water scenario in town, but I know that there's something about if you've got a tank in town, you can only use it for some things. Mm-hmm. And then we've got the problem of even if they collect their water, they're still using our system for the water that's come from their tanks. It's that.
Exactly right. You can use it for your toilet flushing or for your laundry use, rarely, but depending on the quality of water, some people would have a separate pipe in their thing. But I think the point was made last night with the debate on the electricity, that it's valuable still to be connected to the actual wires and posts out the front, because the people that can't afford not to are still wanting to use it. So it's, I would say the same with water, that we're not, people will still pay the water rate if the main runs past their property, or in fact if they're within 225 metres of a water main and can get access to it, we would still charge them the rates. So they don't get the usage charge, but clearly good tank systems provide, you know, can do the gardening, and the smaller lots, clearly they can manage some of that. Yeah.
But sewage still costs us money, as council.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's no out the back disposal for sewer in the towns.
Yeah.
Just a sec, I'll go to Councillor Bowen and then come back to you, Councillor O'Connor.
Yeah, I don't think the tank has a marked effect on that at all. I think it's a great way of selling a water rate rise. This is my opinion only, and we've got to sell this. The general rate rise is going to be a lot harder to sell. There's no doubt about it. And I go back to your statement, Councillor Burrows, before, and I just want to make it quite clear that I was more in favour of fixing up the water rather than the general rate, which will be discussed later. And Councillor O'Connor just marked out with my blind eyes, I can see, 17%, I think, general rate rise. 17.5. So, whereas if we do the water, it's going to be a flat rate of 60% rate rise anyway. And that won't be quite as hard to sell. But that brings back that tank again. If you encourage the use of tanks, it's still not going to affect council, I don't feel, using water. They'll use it for drinking and go through it pretty quick. This is my opinion only. Yeah, look, a lot of discussion is going to happen about this, and we're as a council are trying to hold the rates down, and so far we've done a great job with the help of staff as well. And it's hard, but We cannot keep running this water fund at a $400,000 loss, or $450,000 or whatever it is. This has to be addressed, and we're going to have to do it. And I feel I could sell it to the community with a few black eyes, but I feel I could, I really do. But rather than the general rate rise, step one, that's what I do. McMoore's running at a loss. I don't know what the problem is there or how we're going to get around that. I've had a look at it, and I've come, I need further advice on that. Let's put it that way. But the water, I think, can be addressed, and can be addressed pretty quickly. Thank you.
I'll make one comment. I think the issue for McMoore's is we draw the line that the quality of the service can't diminish, and they do everything else they can to increase federal funding, but I know the challenges, and I know that Christine and Jacinta have huge challenges, and the debate with the federal government will go on. And some of the reports, I think the Australian put out a report about a month ago to suggest that the number of privately run aged care accommodation was, the model wasn't working. So we just need to be active in that space and keep encouraging the staff to do was the best job they can, and we'll but not diminish the services for. That's right.
Mr. Mayor, I certainly wasn't picking on the staff.
Okay, sorry. Councillor O'Connor.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, just in relation to the question about what effect does the drought have, et cetera, 2019 was our drought. It also had, you know, lots of problems. The difference between that year and last year, when we had plenty of water, was 60,000 kiloliters. So in a good year, in a drought year, we charge for 235,000 kiloliters. In last year, with good year, was 175, and in 2019 it was 235. So if we sold or distributed 235,000, instead of getting $870,000 in usage charges, it would be $1.2 million. So we're talking, so that's what will happen. You put up the price in, and it's a good year, right? It'll be down to 175, which means we'll balance our budget. If it's a real bad year and we have to cut the usage, we'll still come in at over 175,000, which means that we'll balance the budget. So it's a matter of, and if we got water and it's a year they need, people need to use water, we end up with $400,000, $348,000 extra.
Yeah, wishing for a drought. Just, sorry. Yeah, you want a follow-up question, and then I'll go to Councillor McMillan.
Well, it's about that. If we need to make people understand that they need to look after water more, and therefore it's going to be more expensive. I don't actually have a problem with increasing the water uses. It's the whole rate rise, I think, is going to be a big battle. But the water makes absolute sense to me. Like, you have to respect that water is a precious commodity and pay for it.
And I might just add the comment about the tanks. One of the things I noticed that the government does really well when the electricity charges go up is actually make it the responsibility of the owner. So if we said we're really encouraging you to put a tank in, don't bother telling them what advantage or disadvantage would be. That's just part of the, you know, here's your chance to reduce your water charge. So yeah.
Could we do something like go to a manufacturer and say, if we convince our entire shire to get a new tank, will you give us cheap tanks?
That I think ZEGNET had that discussion a couple of years ago, my memory of it.
Yeah.
So
that we, you know, while we take with one, we're giving with the other.
Make them feel. So, Councillor McMullen.
Firstly, with respect to water, can I ask how much the additional costs we incurred, how much was the additional cost we incurred to overcome the problems associated with the arsenic? In other words, we had a cut in water usage, but at the same time, we had a huge expense, some of which was supported by the state government, but we incurred a huge expense to overcome the problems that we were facing, and I think that may have contributed significantly to that $440,000 loss. Am I correct in saying that?
The short answer is probably not. I think the state government provided about $225,000. It allowed us to upgrade the filters, which we'd originally set aside money and that wasn't done. So we actually, our bottom line was actually saved some money that we'd set aside from reserves to upgrade the filters. The ongoing issue, though, is that the replacement of the powder-activated carbon is about $50,000 a time. So it is more expensive to treat. But as I said, my view is that the town water quality's never been better, really.
So that therefore is another point that will enable us to sell to the community the reason to put up a charge. And that was what I was getting at in the bottom line. We've got to be able to communicate that to the community. Now, I'm going to set everybody a challenge at this point in time. We are a small... No, it's not homework. It's asking you to think a bit outside the box, however. In lots of other places, councils make money. For example, you've only got to go to Armidale and they charge you to park. And it doesn't matter where you park, you're going to get charged. And if you overpark, you're going to get charged a lot. We do not have a way... Oh, yeah, you've been charged, I know that. We do not have a way of generating an income that may supplement our general funds. Lots of other places have found ways to do that. Now, I believe that in a community such as ours, it may, through grants or whatever, be an opportunity for us to generate money. For example, you talk about green waste. Perhaps we should start to think about going back to producing mulch. Armidale can't produce enough of it, and yet we don't produce any. We have the green waste out there, and it is chewing into the available space for us to use to put stuff away. But that's only one possibility. We've also discussed recycling of solar panels, etc., if we get a grant to go ahead with things like that. But there are surely, with the collective minds in this room, other ways that you can think of that may generate income for this council, thereby minimising the need of... It still has to go up, but... it's not as significantly increasing our general rate.
So, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, the principles that Councillor McMullen's talking about is correct, and Council has got a lot of documentation over the recent years of all the efforts in those spaces. But I think that is the other key point about this process that I'm recommending we start. One is that you deal with the water increases in this July. So you're starting to formulate some good messaging now, which is terrific, and I'm trying to capture it, but I've got the audio too. And then you're right, it is going to be hard to go through this SRV process because there's all these steps. But part of that conversation with the community, and in fact the expectation of your submission to IPART, is that you do offer up the extra initiative, so the proposal to expand Mickmore Gardens, the proposal to look at a regional waste strategy as future opportunities to further shore up our financial sustainability so that it isn't just about we'll just keep asking for more rates. And then separately into the future, if there is a need for new legacy projects, we deal with them separately as special project variations if and when those occurrences come up. So I guess the recommendation, and I've just asked for the alternate, just some slightly tweaked wording based on Councillor Crouch's feedback about source and things, is if you don't give me the go-ahead to go out and request quotes now, and that'll take about a three-month process, I won't be ready to go in July, and we need to do that work with our community July through to November. if in just to put you in a position to be able to make those decisions. And at that point in time, it might be we think we can hold off for another year. All of the numbers to me say the sooner we get on and do this, the better. You know, we've done the independent budget review. We've gone right through everything multiple times now. And, in fact, some of that advice you might remember we had from Professor Drew last year was you still need to, you know, don't try and solve every problem. Get on and go through the process because you do need to come up with some further solutions, which is what Councillor McMullen's talking about during this process. And every $50,000 and $100,000 does add up.
Councillor Bower.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, are you talking about an SRV there that you want to get going quickly, or just we're addressing the water problem here?
So the water you would deal with in the fees and charges when we get to that, even though we've had all that discussion now, that's fine. All I'm suggesting the resolution for 9.1 is give us the go-ahead to go and get a quote, get quotes, because it is a potentially a fairly costly exercise, so we'll need to go through a thorough quotation scoping and quotation process. As I said, it will take about 3 months, so that we're ready in July to start the work. The earliest you could actually increase rates beyond the rate peg would not be for another whole financial year yet, so it would not be before July 24 at the earliest. So it's not a quick process. But if I don't go out from after this meeting to go out, of course, with endorsement from full council, and start that three-month process to scope and get quotes and get prices in so that we're ready to go in July, it'll be another whole year down the track. Like, this is all about putting you in a decision-making point with enough information.
Mr. Mayor, can I just...
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. When I was reading the councillors' questions, which we started to answer this afternoon and which will go out to everybody, I just picked up a thread there that I think I wasn't sure the councillor was clear on the intent of the recommendation in this report. Staff are not recommending that council goes for an SRB. This report is recommending that council allow us to do some investigation. That's that recommendation there. That will produce a report which we will bring back to council, which answers a whole range of questions about what the community think about an SRV and about how an SRV might work, and scope up what our proposal to the state government to allow us to do an SRV would look like. Now, at that point, when that report comes back to council, post-July, sometime before November, November's our last opportunity to lodge an SRV application to get an SRV in the 24-25 year. If we miss that gateway in November, it's 25-26 before you get an opportunity to do an SRV. And there will be a whole lot of potentially detrimental financial results in that period, potentially. So we are not proposing that we go for an SRV. We are proposing we do an independent consultant review and report. The consultant will speak with the community about what are your expectations about services, look at our finances, how much have we got to supply those, what's the gap if there is a gap, and if there is a gap, how that might be filled. Now, part of the filling of that gap would likely be an SRV, but whether an application is ever lodged off the back of that resulting report is a future decision for council to make sometime post-July this year. So that's that recommendation. So I think in answer to your question, councillor, there's two things we've spoken about tonight. One, there is an opportunity to increase the water rate prior to this body of work as a totally separate thing in this upcoming budget. And I think councillors have put their points of view about that, and I think they're pretty close to the money, that there is a need to do that. Whether a rate, the general rate, needs to increase would come off your consideration at the back of this report once it's done. So all we're saying is release us to do that deeper investigation and produce that report for you sometime post-July. And at which time, you may consider it and say, no, we're not going for an SRB, or yes, we're convinced we probably need to.
Councillor O'Connor.
Mr Mayor, I'm on record as saying that we need to have an SRB, right? The problem we got is that this community, right, has the foreshadowed problem of 2 years, 2.5 years ago, of a 51% increase in rates because the amount that was used was the total figure that was the $1 million, right? And the $1 million required. But we're not looking at $1 million. We're looking at a much less figure than that. And when I said I would support an SRV, I would support a realistic SRV, one which clearly demonstrates that not only have we looked at what we need, but what we have achieved in reducing costs. And until you can do that, then that community out there, right, is going to say, you haven't done enough. You have not done enough. All you want to do is take it out of our pockets because you're not prepared to look at how you can run more efficiently. And we haven't been able to show up, I don't believe, till now, right, we haven't shown where we have made efficiencies and reduced costs because we've shown the same damn big loss. One of the reasons I fought so hard to have the capital grants not included was it to show them $1.196 million on the bottom line. People say, that's not much difference to the year before and the year before and the year before. The worst thing we have is that we have a consolidated statement. And as I said, they've broken up into three loss areas, McMaws, water and general fund. We've got to be able to work out how we can get McMaws into a balanced situation. We talked about the water, which then makes a lesser figure for general fund. And when you get a lesser figure in the general fund, then you can start going out to the community and say, well, we're looking at raising 700,000, not a million, and we need a 17.5% increase, not 51%. And then that's the communication and the dialogue we have with our community about a realistic increase in our rates. Because, you know, everyone out there knows if they go to Coles or Woolworths. Sorry about that. Hey?
No, you're all right.
I thought I had it on silent. It's my son. But you go to Coles and Woolworths and basically what you've got there is, you know, weekly 5 and 10% increases. But we're no different. We're in the same boat.
But yeah, I think the problem I have is that you sell the council short. I think, you know, the reason I asked for the 2022 indicators to come out of the audited statements is our operating performance ratio is down to -3%. It was -9%.
Yep.
We've put 600,000 into restricted assets for the waste because we know there's an issue there. We don't know how big an issue, but we know there's an issue. So I think we have made some significant improvements. We just need to...
The point I said was the community doesn't...
No, I understand that.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what we need to do.
No, I appreciate that part, but I don't think we should sell ourselves short.
Mr Mayor, I totally agree with Tom. I think we do, with Councillor O'Connor, that we do need a rate increase, and I think the sort of sum you're talking about is the right sort of sum. We've seen horrendous rate increases talked about by Armidale and Inverell and other places around, and I think that's stressful to their community. economically, we're not going to go through easier times for the little man in the street. And so any huge rises are just more stress laid onto their family income. I also agree with Councillor McMullen. We have Armidale, who, as you say, you get fined, parking fines. And so people see that as greed. And, yeah, they just see... In fact, I had somebody comment to me the other day who came from Armidale, said, I wish we could amalgamate with Urala, not Urala amalgamate with us, because they see us as doing a better job and being a nicer community. Mm. And Bruce's ideas, Councillor McMullen, I'll get it right one day, of maybe looking at mulch from Green Waste, that's not a fine for doing something wrong. You're getting something for your money. And so if we can look at things like that, then I'm in agreement with that.
Yes, Councillor Burrows. Sorry.
I agree it would be nice to find ways to make money, but I also understand that it costs money to make money, so we might have to do a rate rise so that we can use it to make more money so that we don't have further increases. If we increase McMoore's, does it become more of a less of a financial burden? Does it start to decrease its, like, what happens if we make it bigger? Where does that put us financially?
Sure, thank you, through the chair. Thank you for that question. That's absolutely very appropriate. So in our current situation at McMoore Gardens, under the new regulations and everything that we're facing, we're not able to be as efficient as we could be. So, for example, we have to have an additional registered nurse on night shift every night. Now, that would be one registered nurse, whether we have 36 beds or whether we have 40 beds, or whether we have... So in that way, you've got more residents paying fees and charges. We can't change our fees and charges. That's what the government sets them at. The only control we have is over our bond, which we have increased, and we've set aside to increase that each year up to, I think, 300,000 is what we ended up with. So that's our one thing that we can control. But certainly more residents paying fees means that we have that much more income to cover the costs that we're going to have to pay anyhow. Yep.
So what would be the ideal number for McMoore's? What would be the, like... before we step up to two nurses or whatever it may be.
For sure. So we did some work on that with that business planning that we did with Stuart Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And I do keep in touch with some of the modelling that they are still continuing to do. They suggested to us 50 beds is a good size for our size of population. And that would then stop us from stepping into the next phase where... you start to get less subsidies. So at the moment we're in rural, regional, remote and a certain size, so we benefit from some subsidies that support us in that. If you step then past that 50 beds, then you start to get outside of those additional subsidies. So we probably don't want to do that.
Do you agree that 50 beds would probably suit our ageing population? Is that going to be enough? Because I know that the queue from it was never seems to end.
It's all right,
Jules. Yes, I think for us at this point, and given our land situation as well, if we were going to try and go beyond that, we would have some significant challenges in how we would do that. Yeah.
Just a sec. One of the questions that came up before was whether it was worth going back and having that Stuart Brown report updated, given the changes. Do you see that as a valuable process as part of what's coming to council?
I think at the moment we're still going through the aged care reform program. There's a lot of change happening, and I think until that change settles, and there's still a lot of debate, there's debate about how much more funding the federal government will provide, even in terms of how much funding they're going to give us to be able to fund our 24/7 RN. So there's a bit of negotiation happening there. So perhaps after some of that has settled, that would make sense to go back and have a look. Where are we now in the new world?
Thank you. Councillor O'Connor.
Can I get back to our recommendation?
My thought is that if we get to the recommendation, that'll close the meeting out.
What's that?
Well,
I'm getting back to it to make a discussion, not to move it, right? I believe that, by the way, the restriction isn't a reserve, it's actually a restricted asset, so that's what it is.
I just put that in for layman explanation.
But technically it's a restricted asset. Now, I have no problem with what's there, but if we remember the last meeting, workshop, there was a discussion about $15,000, I believe, to do the study for McMoore Gardens.
$13,000.
Then that should be the second part. So recommend that use the strategic reserve to, one, proceed with a quote, two, that one.
Mr Mayor, we are preparing a report for council for the 28th of March meeting specifically on the McMoores and on that to seek that resolution.
Which?
For the McMoore Gardens concept planning, we are preparing a separate report to council on that. So, I mean, you could sort of put something in here because this has got to go forward to council anyway, but just wanted to let you know we are working on a standalone report to the March council meeting on the expansion plans for McMoore Gardens.
Yeah. I'd like it in here anyway because it's a service area benchmarking report and that's the sort of things that we need to benchmark. Yep.
Let's be really clear. This is not the benchmarking report. This is about getting the advice on from a consultant about the building issues. So there are two. The Stuart Brown one was saying it's not worth getting that upgraded until everything settles down. But the issue around doing some of that preliminary, what would a new design look like? Where would the buildings need to go? That's the 30,000. So,
Mr. Mayor, why I think it's a good idea. That's where we should be getting the money from. That the organisation's strategic thing for one, do the SRV preparation, and two, McMoore's. That's two of the three, right? And we've discussed water, which should be another one. So we sit around here and talk about the three areas. One area, i.e. the increase in rates, is the first one. Second one is McMoore Gardens, getting that thing, so we put that second one in there. Both to be studies funded out of that organisation's strategic development, restricted asset. And the water fund is what we've discussed. We know where we're going with that. So we've hit the three main issues that we've got.
I agree. I think it makes it clearer to the public too. Like it's all very well to sit here and talk about it, but we want to be very clear that we are talking about these in the three different areas, I think.
Thank you. Now, to the stage now where, based on what Councillor O'Connor's just said, are we prepared to move second and vote on that, or do we want more discussion? And I am well aware that obviously three of the councillors aren't in the room, but this is not concrete, it's just at early stages. So are we in that position, councillors?
This is only going forward as a recommendation.
That's exactly right. Yes, thank you. So can we... Councillor O'Connor, can you help Mrs Westbrook with the wording and we'll have another thought about whether you got it right or not?
Mr Mayor, can I try and help from here? What if we just, after recommend that council use the organisation's strategic restriction, just take out the word asset, just strategic... development restriction to
it's restricted asset,
okay, semicolon to
take the and out, hit a return, we'll make it number one. So after the word asset would be the word TO, and then a colon, sorry. And then on number one, take out the word and. And then after the very end, after financial year, at the very end, hit a return and number two. Yep, and hit return, number two. Now, Councillor O'Connor's words about what about something like invest in concept plans for the development of expansion of more gardens per...
Yeah.
And do you want to just ask for the report that we're working on, maybe?
Yeah.
Invest in concept plans for more garden... dash request a report to the ordinary council meeting. Yeah. Then in terms of the water part, I would suggest that you could deal with that when we get down to item 9.3. No, in item 9.3 of this agenda where we talk about fees and charges.
Councillors, I will make, we won't go through the fees and charges today, but what I would ask, and I know that a number of you have areas of special interest, and I use, say, Councillor Petroff in the swimming pool, for instance, can you go through them and identify any that haven't already been identified by Councillor Crouch and send those questions in for a specific response? And as I say, if we focus on the water charges and the like, so a lot of this is standard increases. But if you have any special areas, and I know I would assume that Councillor McMullen will do the same around some of our waste charges. So if you could do that prior to the next meeting, please. Councillors, I have... This would go forward from this meeting if everybody's in agreement. The recommended the council use the organisation's strategic development restricted asset to one, proceed to request for quote and engage an independent consultant service to commence the assessment and community engagement process from July to October 2023 for a possible special rate variation and if required to enable a council decision by November 2023 to apply to the Independent Pricing and Regulatory Tribunal for 2024-25 financial year, and two, invest in concept plans for the expansion of Moore Gardens, request to report the ordinary council meeting the 28th of March 2023. Could I have somebody move that, please? Councillor O'Connor, seconded Councillor Burrows. All those in favour? Councillors, I'm just going to need to go back one step. Originally, we noted the apologies from Councillor Toomey and Councillor Crouch. Can I have the indulgence of those that voted for that, the mover and seconder, that we also include Councillor Doran in that recommendation? Thank you. All those in favour? Thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor, instead of going to 9.3 to talk about water, because I've looked at 9.3 and I don't think it fits in there, because what we're talking about here is bringing our more under the service area report, benchmarking. So I think we need another motion, which basically covers how about we note the discussions on the increase in the water use charge. Just say that.
Councillors, in general agreement, before I get Councillor Crouch to put Councillor O'Connor to put words on that?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to move that, please, councillor?
Oh, yeah, okay.
You can't make long speeches without short recommendations. That's just how it works.
Well, I haven't had a chance to think about it.
The idea is keeping it separate.
Yeah.
What's that?
The idea is keeping it separate.
Yeah, but separate because we're not going to use the funds for the thing.
Mr. Mayor, what Councillor Connor's trying to write?
Council note the...
So really what we were hoping out of that 9.3 was guidance, obviously, from today on the... fees and charges part, I guess that could be request some, you know, a formula or a model, you know, the finance undertake the assessment of what an increase in, well, let Council O'Connor come up the words.
Maybe something along the lines that Council, Council acknowledged that there needs to be a significant improvement in the financial position of the water fund, and that that we ask staff to prepare some alternatives for council consideration at the next meeting. And staff prepare discussion.
Just add request would cover that. So, yeah. And request some further advice on options to achieve a balanced water fund.
Okay, so you don't like what's up there? No, we're all good. I'm going to move. We've got somebody that'll move. What's there? Okay. There.
Mr. Mayor, did you want this back in 9.1 rather than under 9.3? Just that top point? I think Councillor O'Connor wanted it to sit with the benchmarking report under heading 9.1.
I think 9.1, so you've got...
So, Mr. Mayor, I think obviously we're using a lot of latitude under committee rather than whole council today. If we took out the number 3 and just had it as a second part to that motion, but then we'd need to reconfirm that everybody's happy with how that's been moved and voted on. And maybe just add the Finance Advisory Committee acknowledge it to make it a sentence.
Okay, so basically, Councillor O'Connor and Councillor Burrows, that becomes part of that overall motion. You're still comfortable with all that?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much. I will, we've had pizza arrive because I didn't want dinner because I didn't want you here all night. But there is pizza just to nibble on, and it's all gluten-free. So thank you, Wendy. Sorry about the rest of you. The rest of you can't eat it, but it's all right. I'll now close the meeting at 5... 36, and thank you very much for your input, councillors and staff. No, no, that'll do us.
Is the audio turned off? Is the audio stopped, Ms. Westbrook? Is the recording stopped so then I can make a joke?